On the last Sunday of every month, we give particular focus to the Lord's table. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. All of this month, as we've gathered around this table, we have focused our attention to this particular passage of Scripture. And that is 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 21 through 25. I want to read that passage one more time. I know you've heard these words all of this month, but let's hear them one more time. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 21 of 1 Peter. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Every first day of the week, we gather with our Lord Jesus, unseen, but very much with us at this table. We gather this first day of the week around the Lord's table with the Lord Jesus. And we participate in the Lord's Supper. We eat this bread. We drink this cup week after week. And when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we look back. We look back to the night when Jesus was betrayed. That account of the betrayal of Jesus and the institution of this supper is found four different times in the New Testament. It's found in Matthew chapter 26. It's found in Mark chapter 14. It's found in Luke chapter 22. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11. Same account, over and over. I think that tells us something about the importance of this table each week. It's interesting to read early Christian writers, our most ancient of brothers and sisters, and what they said about this table. When they looked at this table, they looked even further back than Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians 11. They looked all the way back to Genesis. Do you remember the story in Genesis of creation? And it says that God creates in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what does he do? He rests. That Sabbath day, that seventh day, which is Saturday. What does that tell us about the beginning of creation? The beginning of creation was on the first day of the week, Sunday. And early Christian writers look back to that and say, you know, there was that creation, the first creation, but there is a new creation. There is a new first day of the week in which creation is occurring again. It's the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, the first day of the week. That when Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week, there was something new going on again, something new created again. God was doing His creative work once more. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and I would point you to that passage, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it goes on and says in verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God." And then you read chapter 1, verse 14 of John, and it says, "And that Word became flesh." Why did Jesus come and live like us as a human being? Why? That He might experience what we have experienced. The book of Hebrews says He became like us in every way except for sin. Jesus never sinned. The Word became flesh and tabernacled, tented, dwelt among us, John 1 verse 14 says. God came and dwelt among us here on earth in Jesus Christ. And so God was about this project of creating again and recreating a world that had gone wrong. One of the things that had gone wrong was death entered into our world because of sin. And Jesus now has pioneered the way through death. And when does that occur? When is it that Jesus became the pioneer through death? The first day of the week. And I think that's why in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, I'd encourage you to write this verse down somewhere. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it is a new creation." You could translate that, "He is a new creation," but you could just as easily translate it, the indefinite pronoun. It is a new creation. Our earliest Christian brothers and sisters, when they looked at this table, when they looked at the resurrection of Jesus, what they saw is this is the beginning of something new that is as good, it is as wonderful as the very beginning of creation in Genesis. God is at work in His creative work once more in Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, it is a new creation. You become a part of God's new creation project in Jesus Christ. Who are we as Christians this morning as we gather? Who are we? Who are we as the disciples of Jesus? We are God's new creation in Jesus Christ. Why is it that we gather on the first day of the week? Because it was on the first day of the week that God began His new creation in Jesus Christ. Death now is not going to have the final word. There is this new creation in Christ. We are a first day of the week kind of people because we are God's new creation people. Now I want to point you back once more to 1 Peter chapter 2. What has Jesus done through His resurrection? What does it mean to be a part of this new creation? What is it that we have become a part of in our baptism? When we've died to that old person we used to be, in the likeness of the death and the burial and resurrection, so our baptism is in that likeness, and we retell the story of Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. In our baptism, we're telling a story. We're participating in that story. that we have died to ourselves and we bury that old person we used to be because we're a new creation. Romans 6 says we rise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to point you in particular to a little phrase. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By His wounds you have been healed. You ever notice that phrase? Peter is actually quoting the passage that we read as we began this morning from Isaiah 53. That phrase, by His wounds you have been healed, comes from Isaiah 53, verse 5. That the wounds of Jesus, this great irony, isn't it? We don't usually think of wounds being a way to heal. By the wounds of Jesus, we have been healed. And it's not simply, there is a part of that, one aspect of that is we have been healed in the sense that we are forgiven our sins, the guilt of our sins we no longer bear. By His wounds we have been healed. That certainly is true, but it's more than that. By His wounds we have been healed so that we are now a part of this new creation. If anyone is in Christ, it is a new creation. It's a whole new world for us if we are in Christ. Since we are in Christ, this is a new world we live in. Not everybody is a part of that new world, but in our baptism we become a part of that new world. That's why we gather around this table week after week, first day of the week after first day of the week after first day of the week. It is a reminder to us that by His wounds we have been healed. What does it mean to be healed? We are forgiven of our sins, but that's sort of like this is the time of the year when it's track and field competition. What would you think of someone who lines up for a race and the starter's pistol goes off and they just say, well, there they go. I'm not going to go with them, but there they go. You are baptized to begin that race of the new creation. We are not baptized simply to have our sins forgiven. The forgiveness of our sins is a means toward beginning to live into this new creation. Isn't that what Peter says in verse 24? Look again at chapter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. But what does he say right after that? Why did Jesus, according to Peter, why did Jesus die? Peter does not say here, Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. That's not what he says. It's true, and that is said elsewhere, but what does Peter say? Peter says, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree. That's another word for cross. Why? What does Peter say? That we might die to sin. That we would call off rebellion against God. That's what that means. God, from now on, what I want to do is I want to do what You say. God, from now on, I want to be what You want me to be. The pistol has gone off when I am baptized into Christ, but now I begin to run that race as I die daily to sin and live to righteousness. And thus, I am more and more becoming a part of that new creation. And that's why Peter quotes at the end of verse 24, he quotes Isaiah 53, verse 5. By His wounds you have been healed. That healing is seen in our lives in which we more and more live lives that match the life of Jesus Christ. That we more and more put sin behind us and more we become the righteousness of God. What are we doing around this table? What's going on here? We are celebrating the fact that by His wounds we have been healed. Today as we eat this bread, today as we drink this cup, let me encourage you, let me challenge you to recommit yourself as you eat this bread. To recommit yourself as you drink this cup. To be the new creation that God intends you to be in Jesus Christ. By His wounds, we have